Amen. Last week we showed this video, and I wanted to show it again to kind of remind you of what we talked about. So I want to kind of recap last week real quick, because we're going to piggyback off of that today as we talk about our comfort zones. We talked about last week being filled with faith and how Jesus was amazed in two different ways. He was amazed at his own people in his own hometown because of their lack of faith, because they didn't believe he was who he said he was or that he could do what he said he could do. But he also found himself amazed in a different portion of Scripture when a centurion, someone he was not very close to, came to him and said, "By your words, I believe that my servant can be healed." And Jesus was amazed by his amount of faith. So we asked ourselves, where is our faith? What do we believe? How much do we believe in God? And we talked about this question of, what if God answered every prayer that I prayed for this last week? Would the world look any different than it does right now based on our prayers? And then finally, we looked at three different things out of the book of Hebrews. That you cannot play it safe and please God. Because the Bible says without faith, we cannot please God. And without faith, you're not playing it safe unless you've got faith involved and you're believing that without God, something's not going to happen. As long as you have a guarantee, you don't have faith. That was the second thing we learned. And finally, we learned to step towards your destiny, you have to step away from security. And that's really where we're going today. That's the one thought I want you to remember as we step into today's message, is to learn that we cannot step towards our destiny unless we step away from security. It's stepping out of our comfort zone and being willing to grow. And here's basically the whole idea, is to bring us to a point where we believe in God enough that we're willing to step out of our comfort zones in order to do incredible things for God.
And so today we're going to talk a little bit about comfort zones, because we all have them. And I remember growing up, I loved school. That was my jam. I loved to learn, and I could read all day long. Mom had to send me out of the house to play because I was always reading. I got to college, and as I took the Bible and the psychology and the Spanish classes, I was thinking, I could just be a professional student. This is my comfort zone. I could be here all day long.
Which was totally out of my comfort zone. I could do anything but go to class and anything but read, because I wanted to be outside all the time. I love to hunt, fish, anything involving sports. So if it was basketball, baseball, football, that was my comfort zone. That was where I wanted to be. And so anything in school was out of my comfort zone.
And then sports were completely out of my comfort zone. I didn't play them. And I didn't watch them. I went to like one football game in high school because we won state. And even when I was there, I'm like, I don't know who I'm cheering for. I'm just clapping because everybody else is clapping. just not my comfort zone. One thing that is that I love to do, I love to make big messes and do fun stuff with the kids. And so when they were little, we'd get giant cardboard boxes and we'd finger paint. We'd have the paint all over us, or we'd make goop, or we'd go out in the front yard and have food fights. And for us, the bigger the mess, the more fun it was.
Totally out of my comfort zone. When I go home, I want everything neat, tidy, and in its place. And those kids just have to sit there and not play at all, because when they play, they make messes. So it takes me out of my comfort zone.
It really does. He's kind of a neat freak. But we all have comfort zones. And that phrase was coined a couple of decades ago just to kind of describe like our personal boundaries and what we're comfortable with and how we tick. But then pretty soon it became not just kind of a way of an explanation, but almost an excuse for a lot of people. Excuses that we hear often are things like, well, I can't work with kids because that's out of my comfort zone. Or I can't introduce myself to a new person. I can't introduce myself to someone I don't know because that's out of my comfort zone. Or I could never tell someone about Jesus or invite them to church because that's out of my comfort zone. And somewhere along the way, instead of being this phrase that's just used to say, okay, here's some boundaries that I'm comfortable with and here's some things I'm not, all of a sudden it became this excuse or this line of, I won't cross this line because it makes me uncomfortable. And yet sometimes our faith requires us to move a little bit beyond our comfort. sometimes God asks us to move a little bit beyond our comfort so that we can grow with Him. I've never really found the verse in the Bible that says, "And ye shall be comfortable. And I will never ask ye to do anything that you do not want to do. You shall never have to stretch or grow. You should just always have the perfect life. Thus saith the Lord." If I found that verse, I would love it. If you could find it, show it to me, because that would make life really easy for us, wouldn't it? I would accept it. And I do believe that God is for us, and God wants good things for us. But when I read my Bible, I see God putting people smack dab into the middle of uncomfortable situations all the time, putting them in situations that force them to grow as people, but also that force them to grow in faith and to become more and more Christ-like. We have to remember that the end goal to our life is not that we are comfortable. It's that we become more Christ-like. And so Jesus didn't just save us so that this life could be perfect, because this life is not our home, right? And yet so many times we spend our days running around trying to make everything perfect here, trying to make heaven on earth. But we were saved to do good things. We were saved to be more like Christ. And we were saved with the knowledge that at one point we're going to go on to heaven. And that's the perfect place. And yet when things aren't always perfectly comfortable here, we get confused. And we think, well, why is this happening? Why is everything not like I want it to be? I don't know if you've ever heard of the Dream Center, but it's this huge outreach in Los Angeles run by Pastor Matthew Barnett and his church. And it has more than 120 programs that run through it. They serve 40,000 people each month. That's a lot of people. It's a converted hospital building that has 700 beds, and they run all kinds of various programs through there. And so they have a transitional shelter for homeless families, a drug rehab center, a shelter for victims of sex trafficking. They have educational programs. They train people in job skills and life skills. They provide counseling. It's this huge ministry that goes to some of the darkest places in America that we could probably imagine. Now, I know that life here is not perfect, but just living in a small town and having that relative safety around us all the time, sometimes we can kind of forget what's out there, forget how it is in other places of America. But where they minister, there's a place called Skid Row, and there they find on the streets pimps, prostitutes, people shooting up drugs right in the middle of the street, and they don't care, you know, if the police or somebody might see them. Trash heaps that people gather together, and they use those as their beds. There are teenagers who are passed out with needles in their toes because their veins are destroyed in their arms. There's children playing with the needles. There are women being sold in tents on the streets right here in America. It's a way of life that many of us wouldn't really recognize. It would be a whole different perspective shift for us. And the ladies, recently, our Wednesday night small group, we went through a book called Unglued by Lisa Turkhurst. And she took a missions trip there with a group of people. And it's a fantastic book, by the way. I highly recommend it. But she tells in the book of when they were there, a lady they met named Janice. And they get to Skid Row, and they see everything happening, and they basically just have one question. When they get there, they're thinking, why? Why would anybody choose to stay in this? You know, even the homeless people, you know, they're like, okay, I get, you know, you're homeless and you don't have a lot of options, but why pick this area? Why not move to something safer? Why do they stay? And so the ministry team comes upon this lady named Janice in this terrible place of Skid Row, and they begin to minister to her, and they promise her, you can have new life. You can have hope. You don't have to be hopeless. There's this place that we can take you. And they offer rehab, but not only do they do that, they're going to train you. You know, they're not just going to help you get better and then send you out with nothing. This is a start and a promise of new life for you. And Janice took the opportunity. And so they dropped her off at the Dream Center to the rehab place, and they were so excited because they're like, we're just got here and we're already making a difference. So the next day they went to a different part of Los Angeles. It was several blocks away, and they're ministering, and it wasn't long before they're approached by this woman looking for money for a bus ticket. And for a second, she's like, she looks familiar. And then she's like, Janice, what are you doing? In less than 24 hours, Janice had walked away from her chance. She'd walked away from her opportunity. And she was desperately trying to get money for a bus ticket back to Skid Row. And Lisa said, I recognized that this had to be Janice's choice to make a change in her life, but I couldn't help but try. And I said, Janice, why wouldn't you want to try to make a new life? Why wouldn't you want this better opportunity that we're giving you? And she said, Janice's answer broke her heart. She said, I have to go back to the street because I know where to put my blankets there. I don't know where to put my blankets anywhere else. You see, Janice wanted her comfort zone. The thing about comfort zones is this. They don't have to necessarily be comfortable. They just have to be familiar. A better term would be familiar zones. It's where you feel like you belong. And where you believe you belong is where you're always going to stay. We see this in life. Like, maybe you're not really comfortable with your current level of fitness. So you're not comfortable with the food that you feed your body. It's mostly junk, or you don't like the way that you look or whatever it is, but you're familiar with it. It's easy. And it's where you feel like you belong, and so you just stay. Or maybe you're not really comfortable with the pattern that you've developed with your spouse. You know it's not healthy. You're not exactly comfortable with it, but whenever there's a problem, you have your go-to responses and she has her go-to responses, and these are the roles that you always fall into, and it's familiar and you feel like you belong there, so you just stay. Or maybe you're not comfortable with where you're at in your career, but it's familiar and it's easy and you've come to believe that you belong there, so you stay. See, it's really easy when you hear a story like Janice's to kind of shake your head and be like, well, I would never be that desperate. That's so dumb. I would never do that. But in a sense, we kind of all do similar things every single day. And the unfortunate thing is this often extends to our walk with God and how we handle our relationship with Him. Oh, I don't know how many times I've heard people say, yes, I know I could do better. I need to pray more. I need to read my Bible more. I wish I was closer to God. But yet, what I have is familiar. I'm familiar with the fact that I go to church every Sunday. I'm familiar with my bedtime prayers. I'm not exactly comfortable here because I know that sometimes when I'm at church, I can feel God kind of tugging on my heart or asking me to do something more. So I wouldn't exactly say I'm comfortable, but I'm in the familiar zone with where I'm at with God, and so I stay. And that's a dangerous place for us to be, because sometimes we get so used to going through the motions with God, we don't realize that we don't really know Him, and we desperately need a touch from Him. There's a verse in Revelation 3:15 and 16, God's talking to a church, and He says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot, and I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And this reference would have made sense to them because where their town was, there was one on one side that had hot springs, and they were famous for that. And people would come for the therapeutic waters, and it would soothe them when they were in the water. And then on the other side, there was this town that had these cool mountain streams. And it was so refreshing to people when they came and they had this water. But right in the middle where this town was, the water that flowed underneath it was just tepid and lukewarm and gross. And so when visitors would come from either of the towns, very often they would take a drink and they would spit it out in shock for just a second. They couldn't do anything with the water. It was just kind of gross. And God is talking to them and He's saying, you know, if you are on fire and you had this relationship with Me, and you were growing and you were moving, that would be wonderful. But I would even prefer that you just be cold and be far from Me, because even then there's a chance that maybe you would recognize your need for Me and I could do something with you, but you're just kind of in the middle and you think you're okay and you're not. And so I can't really do a lot with you. And a danger sometimes is we get so used to our Christianity that we let God become kind of an identity marker for us instead of an identity changer. He's an identity marker, which means I've reduced him to a label or a lingo or a lifestyle. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church. But I haven't let him be this identity changer. I haven't let him be the guy that will come in and say, I'm not the same person that I was. I'm not letting him grow me and challenge me and change me. In fact, sometimes I'm just sitting stagnant like that water. And there's no real evidence of his work in my life at all. But letting God be an identity changer means that I am willing to let him transform me. That I am willing to take a step of faith, even if it's not comfortable. It means that I am constantly praying in my life because I believe that prayer works. It means that I believe that God can do miracles, not only in my life, but in the lives of my friends. And so I'm reaching out to them to give them this wonderful thing, right? It means I believe that God can save my friend's marriage. I believe that God can help with anger issues. I believe that God can help with addiction. I believe that God can, because I serve a real God.
We turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul had this same thought at the church of Corinth, and we're going to see how he responded to his people not being willing to grow. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready." See, Paul didn't expect the Corinthians to mature in Christ at the time of conversion. When they accepted Christ, they were justified, just as you and I. That means they were righteous because of Jesus' righteousness. So when Paul first established the church at Corinth, he taught them as new converts. But he expected them to grow in their faith and become what is called sanctified, to where daily we're allowing God to do a work in us and to push us to grow. He was surprised on his return that he had not seen growth or any spiritual maturity. They were unable to distinguish evil and good. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to look at a familiar, simple, or same portion of Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to read verses 12 through 14. It says, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again." Now, if you read in the New King James, many of you may have that version in front of you, it actually says, "You need someone to teach you again the first principles." Now, when he says the first principles, he's referring to the alphabet, to addition and subtraction when it comes to mathematics. It's the basics that you cannot thrive or do anything without. We can't know the English language without the alphabet. We can't know arithmetic without addition and subtraction. And he's saying someone needs to teach you the first principles again. If you don't have these, you won't be able to function. Now look at what he says as it keeps going. It says you need milk, not solid food. "Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." See, both scriptures I just read, it's basing maturity on being able to distinguish good from evil. It's being able to grow in your walk with Christ. So I have three questions I want to ask us today. Three questions that will help us determine if I'm on milk or solid food. Because that's really what both scriptures are talking about, is where am I? It's kind of like last week we talked about, where's my faith level? Am I a 1 or a 2? And I don't really expect a whole lot from God? Or am I at an 8 or a 9 and I'm praying every day that God would give me the power to do what he's called me to do, that I believe he can heal people of cancer, that I believe he can restore marriages, all of those kinds of things. Where is my faith? So the first question I want to ask today is, am I a contributor or a consumer? If you look at verse 12 again, it says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers. See, just a few weeks ago, we looked at the Greek words for time. One of those being chronos, which is a length or span of time. And if you were to look at the Greek word for ought, it's ophilo. It means to owe money or be in debt. So really what this scripture is saying when it says, in fact, though by this time, by this length of time, you ought to be teachers. It's saying because of the length of time you've been saved, you ought to be in debt to God to be teaching others. Does this make sense? As we are saved, as we accept Jesus Christ in our heart, we don't just stop there. From that moment, we begin to grow. And as we grow, we become teachers. We become those who help others. We become contributors, not just consumers. So am I coming to church today simply to get out of it what I need? Or am I coming in graduating and progressing in my life to a place where I'm now a contributor? Am I using my experiences, my wisdom, my knowledge, even my failures and my mistakes, my successes and my gifts in order to help others? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. The Bible is clearly telling us to be growing, to be teaching others, to be stepping out of our comfort zones. Can I be honest with you? I was a little out of my comfort zone this morning, standing on the front row worshiping without a guitar in my hand. I didn't know what to do. I'm standing there. I'm like, I need to be doing something. While they're practicing, I'm pacing around the floor out here. I'm in my office. I don't really know what to do with myself because I'm so used to being up here in my comfort zone. It even, like, you get so familiar with what you do that when you're not doing something, it kind of throws me off for when I need to get up here and speak because I'm used to doing that first in order to do this. So I was out of my comfort zone a little bit. That's a good thing. I would take it every week. At some point, we will have that where I can just focus on this message and I'll have to get a new normal. I'll have to find a way to be comfortable with that. But the scripture is clear in that we should be growing and taking ourselves out of our comfort zone. The second question I have for you. Am I eating meat or am I drinking milk? Am I eating meat or am I drinking milk? Last part of verse 12 said, you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Milk demonstrates dependence. Milk is saying, I'm a child, I'm such a young child that I'm unable to pick up a spoon and feed myself. I have to have my parents to feed me in order to receive nourishment. Therefore, one of the signs of spiritually mature, independent people is this. If you're not getting fed by your church, by your pastor, which I hope you are, but if you're not being fed here, if you're not being fed in a life group or in the Sunday school class, that you can sit down, pick up the word, and receive something and feed something to yourself. That's the whole point here, is to be not dependent upon someone else to do that for you, but that you can do it yourself. We would be worried if we had a 5-year-old child still on milk, would we not? Yet, we're content to let our spiritual man languish and live only on milk, not growing, not becoming teachers, not leading, not because it's not truly comfortable for us, but because, like Courtney said, it's familiar. It's where we think we belong. Milk is also the picture of those elementary truths we talked about, the alphabet. It's the idea that I understand I'm saved. I accept Jesus Christ into my heart and His grace is sufficient for me. But at some point, our Bible study has to go deeper than a psalm and our favorite devotional. Do you understand what I'm saying there? We should go in this natural progression of spiritual growth from I know what I believe to I know why I believe it. I go from I know what I believe to why I believe it. And as we find ourselves doing this, we will automatically be equipping ourselves to be a contributor to others. If you're saying, well, I come to church every Sunday to learn about the Bible, this is where I learn the best. That's great. I hope that you're getting something every Sunday when you show up. But it must go beyond that. And I've got a warning for you. This is going to sound a little gross, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. Milk, we're talking about milk or meat here. Milk is a pre-digested food. It's a liquid. You just drink it on down. So by the time you get to church, you're drinking what I've digested all week. Okay? Understand this. I've spent all week chewing on what God has given me, what God has given Courtney, whoever's speaking, whoever is reading that scripture and chewing on that all week. We come here and we spill that out and we regurgitate that for you to get something from it. But God wants you to have that same experience. To read the scripture for yourself and to have a fresh revelation. I said a fresh revelation of God by reading that scripture and by praying. To chew on it for yourself. Now meat, obviously the opposite of milk, demonstrates independence. Allowing God's word to speak to you and feeding yourself. Question number three. We just saw it in both scriptures. It's being able to determine good from evil. So the way I want to say question number three is, can I discern truth from error? Verse 14 said, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, notice it didn't say use every other month, use once a week. It says by constant use have trained themselves. It's that power of discernment to determine what God is saying to you. They've trained themselves by consistent practice to distinguish good from evil. So when someone's teaching straight up nonsense, have you ever been flipping along and you find some evangelist that's talking crazy? You ought to be able to know, okay, that's not for me. That's not even biblical. That is nonsense. But even in the church, sometimes we find false teaching, different worldviews that just go with the culture. And we can no longer say, well, I heard it said, so it must be true. We have to know for ourselves. And the best way to know is to read it, to study it. Let me use a simple example. If you want to know what a counterfeit $100 bill looks like, the best thing you can do is study not several different counterfeit $100 bills. The best thing you can do is study a true $100 bill. And if you'll know that very well, you'll be able to spot the counterfeits. And it's the same with God's Word. There's no need to waste your time studying other religions or ideologies. Study the true Word of God and you will easily be able to spot the false teachings. You'll easily be able to determine good from evil. And I can tell you this, studying God's Word, truly reading it, chewing on it for yourself, will take you out of your comfort zone. Are you willing to step out of that little area that seems so familiar? That just, it feels right. And that's okay. Sometimes we got to go beyond feeling. Sometimes we got to push ourselves to a little something different, to what God is calling us to do. While at the Dream Center that Courtney was talking about, this place in California, this woman in the book was talking to the leader there, Tommy Barnett, about how much money was needed to keep this ministry running. And the answer was $500,000 a month. Imagine that. $500,000 a month is needed to come in order to feed the people and help the people that walk in on off the streets. And as she's talking to him, she asked him, is this overwhelming? Are you ever afraid? And here's what his answer was. When you experience God the way I've experienced God for 17 years, you stop being afraid. I've seen too many miracles. This man positioned himself every day so that he had to have a miracle in order to live, in order to succeed. There had to be a miracle from God. Church, how many of us are living our lives so out there, so beyond our comfort zone, so beyond our abilities that without God, it's impossible? I believe this church has so much more in store. I believe each one of us in our own lives, myself included, has so much more in store as I step out of my comfort zone. As I say, God, push me further. Take me closer to who you are, whether that's through giving, whether that's through serving, whether that's through just accepting him in my life and saying, I'm going to choose to read your word every single day. Whatever it may be, may you be willing to step out of your comfort zone. At some point, many of us have stopped believing God's power could truly change us. We've stopped positioning ourselves and our lives for miracles. We've stopped trying to make a difference, and we've been content with familiar life of just surviving. Comfort zones make me believe I belong there. I'll always deal with the same sin because I belong there. We'll always have a horrible marriage because we belong there. That's all we know. I'll always live in this horrible job because I belong there. Never believing there's more. Never believing in God enough to know that He can change your circumstances. He can change your life. What if we weren't content with that and we began to believe in God again, that He could do miracles, that we positioned ourselves for the miraculous, that we stepped out in faith and believed that God could use us in mighty ways? What if we stopped caring about our comfort and began to care about the well-being of other people? I want to close by reading you a Franciscan blessing. I found this online. I've been reading this all week to myself. I'm challenging myself with this as much as I am you today. I want you to hear the words of this Franciscan prayer. And I want to pray this over us. Even though I'm reading this, this is coming from my heart to God. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer for pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world, so that you can do the things that others claim cannot be done. Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit begin to speak to us in this place. God, for those of us who've been just living life in the comfort zone, may you push us beyond. Speak to us now, we pray. If you're in this place this morning and you'd say, Chad, I don't know what it's like to live a life with God. I've never had that. I've never accepted Jesus into my heart. I want to give you that opportunity right now. And I want to pray with you. Just want to say a prayer with you. So if you're in this place, and maybe you've never accepted Jesus, or maybe it's been a really long time, and you feel like it's time just to rededicate your life to the Lord this morning. If that's you, would you lift your hand so that we can pray with you? Anyone in this room? Awesome. That means we're all here and serving the Lord this morning. I want to give you a moment. As Travis begins to sing this song, What a Beautiful Name. If you're in this place and you need prayer to just build your strength, you need someone to agree with you in prayer, Courtney and I are going to stay right here and we invite you to come forward and we would love to pray with you this morning. But I'm going to invite you at this moment, even though your heads are still bowed and you're in your seats right now, I just want you to begin to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. In what area of my life, God, do I need to step out? In what area of my life has my faith been lacking? And it's time for me to begin to grow, to begin to change. God, I give you this opportunity right now to speak to me. Let's just take a moment and do that. And as I said, if you need prayer, if you need us to agree with you, please come forward and do so at this moment.